As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is arising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. Boy, it is Friday. Yippee skippy. We got breakfast on the table, we got coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Friday, May the 29th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, visit the webpage. Look at all the things that there are there for you to examine and participate in. Certainly, there's much to be found on the oracalbroadcasting.com webpage, the official webpage of this network. My name is William Roberts, kind of a very, very harried morning. Been after this for quite a few hours, was up late last night, went to a local meeting that we had. We'll talk about that in a bit further, but before we go there, let's go back to this. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism. We're going to touch on some more of that philosophical radicalism today, but freedom is popular and it remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game to be a part of today's broadcast. You can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room. We'll pick up the telephone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll free at 866-841-1065 as I fire up my chainsaw-like tongue today. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri. That's 65647. A big shout out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Micro 1650 AM in Buffalo, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. A little website, www.vocallocal.org. You want to go over there and log on to that. Read Plan B if you haven't read it yet. Just get an idea of what we're talking about when we become vocal local. So many people still haven't quite got the message yet. Get that out to other people as well, too. Maybe link to it, blog to it, respond to it, however you like. But let's get that message spread around a little bit. The listener call-in number again is 866-841-1065. And the Oracle chat room is open. Gold today surpasses the $970 mark as financial volatility continues globally. Revolution and counter-revolution, we're going to talk about that, their causes, the effects. The intellectual revolution, French revolution, oil prices, economy, so much more. So let's go to that market report for May 29th, 2009, Friday. After trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, gold a big winner today, $16.50 moving upward above $975 at $975.70 in active trading right out of New York City. Silver made a big strong move today, up also 33 cents, trading at $15.48, closing in on that 1550 mark. Maybe it'll go higher today, we'll see. Platinum, huge move up today, $36, trading at $1,175 an ounce. Palladium up $9, an enormous move for palladium, $234 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market prior to broadcast time here, $960.80 so far is a low for this morning, $977.70 for the high, a year-on-year gain of $99.20 so far, an 11.31% return on investment. We'll pick it up there on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, we've returned here. We seem to be having a little bit of trouble. I may need to break off the feed and come back on again if the chatters in the chat room let me know. It seems like there's something looping here. The sound is not coming across quite right. We'll just kind of see if the guys can hear us after the delay goes by. But once again, this is the Friday live broadcast to Become Vocal Local. It is Friday, May the 29th. Still waiting to see if anybody out there in the chat room is going to respond to me and let me know whether we're coming across to you full bore here, ready to go. As soon as I see some indication of that, we will proceed. Hate to have to repeat something here. There was a problem with the live streams. It's hard. Should be all fixed now. Everybody says Oracle Tech says everything is great. Okay. Hey, we're all ready to go. All right. That's the way we like to see it. Once again, this is the Friday, May the 29th, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Got a lot of information to go over today. We started in on the market reports, the active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Big news for the precious metals, folks. Big news here. We're starting to see some very positive upward moves. Let's go through those again. Gold was up $16.50, trading above $975 at $975.70. Silver was up 33 cents, trading at $15.48. Platinum was up $36, trading at $1,175. Palladium was up $9 at $934. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $960.80 for a low, $977.70 for a high. Year on year, this $975.70 is $99.20 higher than it was a year ago. For an 11.31% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix, the AM Gold Fix, was set at $972. That's almost 25 bucks over what they set, what they started out yesterday. So they are seeing that it's going to be very difficult for them to keep gold in the box right now. But the fix is set at 972, so we should see it trading in the 970s all the rest of the day, I would imagine. Maybe it'll close even higher than that. The gold spot market is going to close in 7 hours, so we'll just be paying attention and seeing what happens, where it's going to go. Of course, I don't have a crystal ball, so it's no way of knowing for sure. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 103.78 points, closing at 8404. The NASDAQ was up 20.71, closing at 1,752. The S&P was up 1,371, closing at 907. Crude oil closed at 60, is right now trading at 66.06. We'll talk about that again in a moment. And the U.S. dollar index, the USDX, we discussed that yesterday, gave you an idea of what that is and what the basket of currencies, the weighted index is all about. But the USDX, this is the little loser today, and it's going to go throughout the foreign exchange markets as well. The U.S. dollar index is off 89 basis points, trading below 80 again at 79.57. So apparently that has caused a big burp in the marketplace, and we'll see where it goes throughout the day. The foreign exchange rates today, everybody's up against the U.S. dollar, of course, because the U.S. dollar is down. Nevertheless, it was a 1.49% move up for the Canadian dollar. Trading at 91 cents U.S. There was a 0.85% move upwards for the Mexican peso, trading at 8 cents. There was a 1.05% increase for the euro, trading at $1.41 U.S. 1.31% increase in the British pound, trading now at $1.62. The Swiss franc was up 1.14%, trading at 93 cents against the U.S. dollar. The bonds, a two-year, the yield is 0.95%, or just below 1%. The 10-year is trading at 3.60%. The 30-year is trading at 4.50%. That's the market news for today. Here's a little bit off of Bloomberg. Stocks, oils, metals rise as the world recession eases. Dollar drops. That's kind of specious and leading, but let's just go with Daniel Hawk's article here and see where he goes with it. Stocks rose, extending the MSCI World Index longest monthly winning streak since the credit market seizure began after economic reports from Japan and India signaled the worst of the global recession may be ending. Well, we'll see about that. Crude oil climbed and the dollar weakened. That's a fact. The MSCI World added 1.1% at 1:38 p.m. in London, extending its advance in May to 8.1%. The gauge of 23 developed nations has climbed for three straight months, the best performance since the middle of 2007, when the value of securities tied to subprime mortgages collapsed, freezing the credit markets. Oil rose 1.5% to 66.03 in New York, the highest in almost 7 months, as investors speculated more than $13 trillion in government stimulus measures will alleviate the worst contraction since the Great Depression, blah, 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 after $1.47 trillion in losses and write-downs at the world's biggest financial companies. Japan's industrial output increased the most since 1953 in April. India's economy grew more than analysts estimated last quarter, and Poland expanded in April. India's economy grew more than analysts estimated last quarter, and Poland expanded in the first quarter, government reports show. Of course, they didn't tell us what the economies did in Togo and Lesotho and Belize, but I guess if you scoured them all, you'd find somebody that was doing well and you could report on that. There is certainly some relief at the moment, continuing from the article here, as the rate of deterioration appears to have slowed, said John Anderson, who helps to oversee $3 billion at the Rensford Fund Management in London. Quote, the banking sector is out of the intensive care unit, but I suspect it'll take a while before we fully recover, given the sheer amount of debt out there. Well, that's an understatement, John, but thank you for your kind words. We'll all send cards to the banking sector and ask that they get well soon or just get off the planet. Dollar drops. The U.S. dollar weakened 1.2% against the euro and 0.9% against the yen, extending its drop after the dollar index slid below 80. The dollar declined 1.8% versus the Australian dollar. We went through some of that. We'll pass over that. Treasury notes, the yields on the 10-year notes were a little change at 3.61%. We talked about that. I guess let's go to the next article. Okay, U.S. economy, again off Bloomberg, contracted at 5.7% rate in the first quarter. The U.S. economy shrank at 5.7% annual pace in the first quarter, capping its worst 6 months performance in five decades and reflecting declines in housing inventories and business investment. Can you believe it, folks? Tomorrow we start, what, June? 6 months into this year already? Whew. Man, I'm telling you, this thing is just racing by. As a young person, I just felt like from the time from 18 to 21 was an interminable wait. From the time of 16 to 18, it was like eons. From the time of 13 to 16, it was like six lifetimes. And now where the years are going by for me so fast, it's like you just have to hang on to them. Anyway, the contraction in gross domestic product was smaller than the government estimated last month. Revised figures from Commerce Department showed today in Washington, again, this is May the 29th, the drop was larger than economists had forecast and followed a 6.3% tumble in the last 3 months of 2008. The slowdown is forecast to ease this quarter. That would be the second quarter of 2009, reflecting smaller declines in the stockpiles of unsold goods and in construction, which may set the stage for a return to growth later this year. Still, companies are likely to continue cutting jobs as profits remain under pressure, causing consumers to limit their spending and slowing expansion. Well, we'll pick that up on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Looks like we've got our sound in order.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Thank you.
And we're back again right here on Become Vocal Local, going through this financial report. Just about ready to wrap this one up for the day. I've got so much other material I want to share with you. I don't want to spend too much time on this. Let's see if we want to go any further. I think we're getting the idea. We still have more to go, he writes, but lean inventory positions can be a strong source of leverage for the economy once the demand stabilizes and start to grow again. Russell Price, a senior economist at Ameriprise Advisor Services in Detroit, said before the report, corporate profits, including estimates for the value of inventories and adjustments for capital investments, climbed by 3.4% from the previous 3 months. One noted here, interesting note in this article, is from the United Technologies Corp., the maker of the Otis elevators and Carrier air conditionings, is among companies seeing signs that government stimulus programs, particularly in China, may be starting to take hold. Basically, you could judge that by looking at how many elevators are used in various sizes of buildings, and of course the Carrier air conditioners. If they're still selling elevators and they're still selling air conditioning units for commercial and for private and merchants use, you know, then there's some building that's going on out there. You don't just take elevators and stick them out in the pasture. You're going to have to put them inside of some building of some sort. But again, there's lots of construction going on all over the United States and around the world. It's not so much construction. I mean, you can go to a bank and borrow money and you know, clear the land and build something. The icing on the cake is, can you get a customer, can you get a renter, a retail merchant or a business to come and occupy that space? Can you find a family that has the wherewithal, the money to be able to buy your house? So it's not what you can build, it's what the market's going to be able to traffic. And if you look around here, there are a lot of shop fronts, there's a lot of storefronts, there's plenty of places up for sale. It's almost like a picket fence going down the highway, all the houses and farms that are up for sale. So anyway, with all of that, let's go into another thing. We talked to you the day before yesterday, it was, I suppose, in regards to this indicator that we give every day, the U.S. dollar index. And we've talked about this little basket of currencies, little Timmy Geithner's basket of currencies. Another one that we report on regularly is crude oil. And I pulled down a little bit here off of the Kitco.com website to tell us what crude oil is all about. So here we go. Light sweet crude oil. Crude oil is the world's most actively traded commodity. Over the past decade, the NYMEX, the New York Mercantile Exchange, the NYMEX division, light sweet crude. Now they go parenthetically, low sulfur. Crude oil futures contract has become the world's most liquid forum for crude oil trading, as well as the world's largest volume futures contract trading on a physical commodity. Because of its excellent liquidity, not oil liquidity, but the liquidity of the investment, because of its excellent liquidity and price transparency, the contract is used as a principal international pricing benchmark. And if you remember your research, and we go back and we look at the establishment of Aramco, the Arab American oil cartel, if you will, we started denominating our dollars in oil. So it's been around for a long time. It's been part of the process when we went off gold standards and so on and so forth. We went on the oil standard, many people say. So the contract's delivery point then is Cushing, Oklahoma. How many people knew that? Cushing, Oklahoma. So it would be FOB Cushing. The contract's delivery point is Cushing, Oklahoma, the nexus of spot market trading in the United States, which is also accessible to the international spot markets via pipelines. By providing for delivery of several grades of domestic and internationally traded foreign crudes, the futures contract is designed to serve the diverse needs of the physical market. Light sweet crudes are preferred by refiners because of their relatively high yields of high-value products such as gasoline, diesel fuel, heating oil, and jet fuel. Now, when we report the number, I give you $66.06 today, for light sweet crude, a barrel of, well, how much how many gallons are in a barrel of oil. It's not like the old 55-gallon drums from days gone by, where my father used to fly 55-gallon drums of gasoline and diesel fuel and heating oil and kerosene all over the Arctic in bush service as a bush pilot. Those are 55-gallon drums. So how many gallons of oil are in a barrel of oil? Well, the answer to that question is 42. There are 42 gallons per barrel. So let's look at the break this price down today. $66.06 for a barrel of light sweet crude. If you take the $66 and divide it by the 42 gallons, you'll come out with $1.57. $1.57 a gallon, if you will. And then add to that, here in Missouri, we have a 41.4 cents per gallon tax on diesel. It's 24.4 cents federal and 17% Missouri. So you add that 41.4 cents tax onto that. Now we're up to $1.98, or you might as well just say $2 a gallon. So expecting at the pump, unless we can get the federal government and get the state government and their taxes out of it, to expect anything less than $2 a gallon fuel, diesel fuel, is impossible, because they're delivering and paying for higher than that. Now, how much does it cost to make a gallon or to bring a gallon of crude oil out of the ground and into this 42-gallon unit? Well, that's a question that's going to have to answer, you know, by the various producers. But I'm confident it's considerably less than $2. Nevertheless, long story, short story, light sweet crude, low sulfur, if you'll notice on the pumps the next time you stop by, when you're buying diesel fuel, and that's what I run in my truck, in the tractors and stuff. But if you look at that, you'll see it always says low sulfur. Well, there's nothing fancy about that. Sweet crude is a low sulfur fuel. So what do you have to do at the refinery to make this sweet crude suitable for going through the engine, my Cummins turbo diesel in my truck? That's a big question. Some people say that all you have to do is kind of drive slowly by the front of the plant and wave at the plant and then take your diesel to market. So we'll see whether that's the truth or not. I don't know what they do. But just thought I'd throw that out there for you. 42 gallons to a barrel, $66 a barrel today. It should, plus your taxes, run right around $2 at the pump, plus whatever profits accrue to all of the people that distributed, all the suppliers, and so on and so forth. And somebody's got to pay the wage of the kids that are inside pumping that gas. Of course, they don't pump gas in America anymore. Last night, we had a meeting here in Cassville, Missouri. We had Dan Sexton come. He's the Missouri Regional Field Director of the John Birch Society, and he spoke to a small group of us at the Ozark Property Rights Congress, and representing three different counties. Actually, we had four counties represented last night. This is the second presentation that we've had in the last 60 days, 45 days, from the John Birch. We had John McManus come and speak before the group as well. One of the reasons why is that there is a growing movement, if you will, a growing number of former Ron Paul meetup groups that are taking on the John Birch mantle and getting involved in that. So we were looking at this as a possibility to see if there was anything that we could use there, and also to find out what the John Birch Society's expansion model was for this decade. And we didn't come to any kind of a positive conclusion after the presentation. It's pretty much just been tables. But some groups are going with it, some aren't. Nevertheless, that's one of the things we were doing last night. I was out there. Got it.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back once again, and as I mentioned before we went into the break here, we had a guest speaker come into our Ozark Property Rights Congress meeting last night, the Barry County chapter of the Ozark Property Rights, and we invited to come and speak to us because, like I've said, there are many people around who are talking about joining up with or allying themselves with various and sundry groups, and we're a group ourselves, but we're a group of individuals. There is no membership, really, in any of the groups. We've never got around to that. Even though we've discussed it, we still haven't, in any of the chapters that I'm aware of, we haven't developed bylaws or anything. Largely, it's people who understand that property is the paramount and the foundation for all of our freedoms. And everybody has property of some sort or another, including themselves. And so when we come together, there's never any lack of things to discuss. Our property rights are under assault and attack like never before, and I can imagine that it's only going to get worse under the Barry the Usurper administration. Nevertheless, enjoyed Mr. Sexton's presentation, Dan Sexton. One of the things that he mentioned to me early on was that, you know, education is there, or our total strategy, and truth is our only weapon, and I made a note of that. You know, I'm a note keeper. I write stuff down when I go to these meetings. And so, you know, I'm going to keep that in my mind because education is our total strategy and truth is our only weapon. That's a very good statement. I enjoyed hearing that. And I'm glad I've got it, you know, in my own mind now because it's really important. But then he went through a whole bunch of stuff, things that many of you already know. Stuff that we have been studying and researching on the internet and on shortwave radio for years. And, you know, they're trying to build their membership up, their membership base. And at the same time, I'm wondering whether we're dealing with, you know, dealing with dinosaurs sometimes. Because with the extreme rapidity of communication available with the Internet radio system and Internet in general, with so many people on their computer doing research, is it necessary to go out to an expert, you know? I condemn them often on the radio when we're reading these articles. Experts say, analysts said, some the people reported, you know, the guys behind the curtain, they never are named. So do we really need to rely upon other experts? You know, I'm not your expert. I bring material out. I always give you my sources, read directly from the text. I'm not winging it, you know. Basically, very little ad-libbing goes on this broadcast. But do we need to rely any longer on experts say? Or do we recognize that when we start to put our dependence upon others as their experts or the grand poobah, then unfortunately they can become the filter for our information, and then they become the gatekeeper, and then they become the master. So it's a chain of tyranny. But there is certainly a lot of information out there about the John Birch Society. They have a lot of publications, got a chance to look at another table full of their books and things like that. And so I'll just leave it at that. We did have that opportunity. I'm still trying to get Dan or Sexton or someone else that's close to John McManus to help remind him that he committed to come on the broadcast with us. I'd really like to have John McManus, the president of John Birch Society, come on with us. I know we have a small audience. His time is valuable to him. He's got a lot to do. But if we can, we'll have him come on, and that will give us an opportunity to discuss the John Birch Society with him openly, candidly, honestly on the air, and give you an opportunity to ask the questions that you might have about that society and its origins and its function as well. Now, before we go back into a discussion, continuing discussion on the French Revolution, I think it's important to look at the French Revolution, and we'll probably have to take a look at the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression as well, largely because in this time period, where we're at now, it's not going to be like the War for Independence, 1776, you know, the Revolutionary War. The revolution continues. So I say there's a revolution in the air. The American Revolution continues. It's not likely to stop. It's this drive for ever greater measures of freedom and less tyranny and control imposed from top down. So that revolution hopefully will never end. It's an endless reach for greater improvement on our part and greater understanding of what life in a free society could be like. But at the same time, there was a war for independence, but the war for independence fought in the 1770s, 60s and 70s and 80s, that was a different kind of a war. There, the king, King George, was, you know, somewhat 2,000 some odd miles away in jolly old England, and the colonies were buffered or made more secure by the Great Separation, and then we're talking about sailing vessels and all that. You know, we're not talking about nuclear submarines and nuclear missiles and, you know, that sort of stuff. But we're looking at the French Revolution because here what we had was a highly metastasized series of Bourbon kings with their jackfruit on the people's throats and their struggle for freedom, if you will, liberty, equality, and fraternity. And I think we might be able to find more similitude in that inquiry than we would thinking about three-cornered hats and mourner's benches. So, anyway, the idea of revolution and counter-revolution, I brought this out on another broadcast yesterday, but I want to put it into this audience's mind as well. There is a book that was written by Karl Mordecai Marx and Friedrich Engels by the same title, Revolution and Counter-Revolution. I have it in my library. I didn't bring it to the table this morning. Could go get it during a break. But here in the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, and those of you that listen to this broadcast regularly know that I refer to this set of encyclopedias often, largely because of the reason why that was written originally. the high caliber of the writing and the people that were the writers, the authors. So the topical material is excellent. The delivery is great. And if I can do my part and read it properly, then you'll have a better understanding. But this article, written in the 1930s, Revolution and Counter-Revolution, was written or penned here just decades after Marx and Engels wrote their book by the same title. The term revolution, outside the natural sciences, in other words, we're not talking about the revolving earth, or the earth revolving around the sun, or the moon revolving around the earth, we're not talking about that revolution, but the term revolution, outside the natural sciences, connotes a sudden and far-reaching change. A major break in the continuity of development. We talk about sustainable development, the environmental and developmental concerns. A major break in the continuity of development. And we can see that economically right now. We're having a major break in the continuity of development. Something has gone major, massively wrong with their plan, or this is right on schedule. Its application is often specifically indicated by a qualifying adjective, as in the expression, now these are things we've covered here in the last couple of weeks, cultural revolution or industrial revolution. We've also had talked about the commercial revolution. We talked about the Reformation. So that would be a theological revolution. And continuing, in 19th century political science, it's the 1800s now, 19th century political science, the term, when used alone, was meant to refer to political revolution. Again, this ties right back into our study of anarchy. It is for this reason that the ideas of revolution and violence appeared to be so closely connected. For no political system is so flexible as to be susceptible of fundamental change by legal means, quote-unquote, legal means. I'll reiterate that. No political system is so flexible as to be susceptible of fundamental change by legal means. And illegality implies resort to force by the revolutionist as well as by the state which he attacks. Now, when we think of the revolution and revolutionist and anarch and anarchists, let us not forget that when a group or a cabal take over government by coup d'etat, by de facto, you know, usurpation, by de jure usurpations, by any of those legal, lawful, or ethical means, they then themselves can be the anarchists. They can then themselves be the revolutionists. And so we may find that with the Barry, the usurper administration, and their exceedingly left-leaning history, they then may very well be the revolutionists. These could be the Washington, the Jefferson, you know, the Madisons and the Hamiltons in power today in our country. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
And we are back. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you so much. Blazing fingers on that man. He really plays guitar well. Anyway, back into this again. So, in our article here from the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, we find this revolution and counter-revolution. And it says, for no political system is so flexible as to be susceptible of fundamental change by legal means. And illegality implies resort to force by the revolutionists as well as by the state which he attacks. It's important for us, and certainly on this broadcast, I've drawn the distinction many times between government and state. And here in this article, they'll use both terms, government and state. And let us understand that there is a difference between state and government. Government is what is laid out in the constitutions, for instance. But it's the state is that other thing. The state is the overall thing. Now, the United States of America was different in that we didn't have a king. In this country, the king, if you will, was the Constitution. In other words, the law was intended to be the king. Not one party, not the other party, not the Council for Foreign Relations or the Council for National Policy or the Trilateral Commission or the Communitarians or whomever. No, no. It was intended that the law, in other words, our framework, was going to be the king. And we weren't going to have a government of ruled over by men, so to speak. It was the law. Now, the state elsewhere, and especially when we go back and visit again with the French Revolution, is represented by the absolute monarchs, the absolutists, the Bourbon kings or the Stuarts or the Tudors. And so there is a difference. In fact, see if I can just jump in here. I've shared this a couple of times, quickly. Let's see if I can get it fast. Here we go. All right, I've shared from this book several times, The Volitional Science Library by Andrew J. Galambos, Thrust for Freedom, An Introduction to Volitional Science, and he splits this up, state and government, this way. Listen carefully now. A government is any person or organization that sells products or services to protect property, to which the owner of the property may voluntarily subscribe. Now, does that sound like anything that we've got going on in America today, no matter which state you live in? No, definitely not. Here's the definition, his definition of a state. A state is any person or organization that claims to protect property by coercing the owner of the property to use and pay for its services, claiming legality as its justification. Now, does that sound familiar? I think you'd have to agree with me that it sounds exactly like the system that we've got. So we've got this rise of statism, and the state arrogates unto itself all of the natural law returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. The government is the plan, and the state is the perversion of the plan. It's the usurpation of the government outlined in the documents. And so, it's all by coercion, it's by force. You can go back and read Frederick Bastiat's The Law and find more on that. So we go back into this again, and we say once more that for no political system is so flexible as to be susceptible to fundamental change by legal means. That means you're not going to do it by osmosis. Change is not going to come by osmosis, and it's not going to be done with a checkbook, even if it's a funny money checkbook like Barry the Usurper and the boys, Timmy Geithner and the rest of them, are using today to affect their change. It's not going to fundamental changes aren't going to happen by legal means. And then illegality implies a resort to force by the revolutionist as well as by the state which he attacks. Now, in this case, by usurping the title, if you will, of commander in chief, Barry the Usurper can turn the military, those co-opted military, and his various and sundry legions of brown shirts and babushkas against we the people, and become that revolutionist force that attacks we, the state, ourselves. And the shoe can go on the other foot. Having had an absolute bellyful of this nonsense, the people, finally having come to the end of their wits, take up arms, and the pitchforks and the torches come out, and away that goes. So it can work either way. To a modern student of social science, the article continues here, the identification of revolution with political upheaval and the consequent emphasis on violence as its salient characteristics appear misplaced. The government does not function in a vacuum. Its personnel, organization, and policies reflect the correlation of forces in the society which it rules. In other words, it's all coming on us by gradualism. Once the idea back in the time of Davy Crockett, once they get back to the idea of being able to take money out of the public treasury and give it to individuals for private gain or for private remuneration or for things like that, that's when we start down this slippery slope of socialism. So the government doesn't function in vacuo. Its personnel, organizations, policies, etc. reflect the correlation of forces in the society which it rules. Get involved with the educational process that year after year after year, as another little bunch of children come into the kindergarten, the kindergartens, and proceed through the various degrees of education all the way up to high school and then out into the higher propaganda levels. Each succeeding year can have new textbooks and new instructors and so on and so forth, and in just a period of 12 or 24 years, you can completely rewrite history and all of the social and cultural and customs and tongues and tribes of the people. And much of that has been happening. So then we can only expect that as those individuals go to work for government and for the military and in science and technology, that they would reflect their education. And then they would raise their children accordingly and so on and so forth. It gets worse and worse and worse. So here the author says, it's unnecessary to argue a perfect correspondence between state and society to maintain that a major change in the political order, not merely just a shift in the personnel of the government or a reorientation of its concrete policies must be preceded or accompanied by a drastic change in the relations among the different groups and classes in society. And so we saw that in the roll-up here of the French Revolution and the various and sundry revolutions that occurred in Europe and eventually translating to the colonies here. As we go through the Reformation, the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, the Cultural Revolution, the Commercial Revolution, then on into the Industrial Revolution, of which some say there were at least three stages, and we may be in the beginning or in the second stage of the new technological revolution, leaving the Industrial Revolution's third stage behind us. Some of our younger listeners may be living in the first stage of the technological revolution and did not live during the last stage of the Industrial Revolution. As we move further into this new service economy, where industry is considered to be slapping together the burgers down at Mickey D's. Okay? So thus, a recasting of the social order is, at least in modern times, a far more important characteristic of revolutions than a change of the political constitution or the use of violence in the attainment of this end. And we'll carry this into the second hour and gain a greater understanding of that. We'll continue our study of revolution and counter-revolution and then perhaps return back to our text here on world civilizations and continue our study of the French Revolution. But definitely at this particular juncture, right now, within the next 2 years, within the next 4 years, between now 2010's election and the 2012 election cycle, we need to get Johnny on the spot here, folks. We have an opportunity to make a change, make it a real difference. And if we don't succeed, we may find ourselves inside of a box canyon that we're not going to be able to get out of, as you've seen. The great acceleration, legislation and material coming out of the Washington, D.C. area today is all out of proportion with reality. Folks, we'll be back on the other side. Stay with us as we continue and begin our second hour.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, May the 29th. Boy, I'm glad it's Friday. May the 29th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local. We come to you Monday through Friday here at this time of day on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. If you're listening to us on a replay or off any of the various and sundry micros out there, thank you for joining us and thank you for taking the time. I hope that the time that you share with us will be profitable for you. And I hope that the information that I give you will be both timely and useful. My name is William Roberts, and as I like to say, I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each day. And if you missed the beginning of the broadcast, we always start off with a market report. We found that gold was up strongly today, trading above the $960 mark at $962.50, a $14.20 jump so far on the morning trades. Silver was up, platinum was up, palladium was up, the stock markets are up, everything's up except the U.S. dollar index, which is down. And so we're going to see this continue, I'm confident. But where the markets will close, only time will tell. Anyway, going back, we started in on revisiting again and continuing this part of the discussion focuses on revolution and counter-revolution. They always seem to go hand in hand, revolution and counter-revolution. And so we're going into the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, going back to Der Fuhrer's professors and getting a little wisdom out of the 1930s. Certainly, they were living in the midst of revolution and counter-revolution and trying and striving diligently to educate what they considered to be their future leaders for the Third Reich in these various and sundries so that they would have a more intelligent and responsive leadership in Germany and elsewhere. This material was not exclusively developed for the German people. It was basically spread throughout all of the super social scientists. And many of the authors writing for the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences were these super social scientists. All these people that hail back to Auguste Comte and his positivism, the idea of sociology becoming the queen of science, where we just take man and slip him into a petri dish and put him under the microscope and we begin to study man as the focus of science. And I'm telling you, a lot of progress has been made in the study of man. They've got us war gamed out six ways to Sunday. They know what happens if we fart, they sneeze, and somebody else jumps. They can tell you the outcome of that dialectic. All right, so anyway, back into our study here. This article continues. We see that this aspect of revolution distinguishes itself also from coup d'etat, rebellion, and insurrection, with which it is sometimes confused. In the present discussion, therefore, the social aspects of revolutionary processes will receive particular emphasis. Again, the social aspects. We're looking at the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. We're looking at man. How does man, individually and in society, respond to these various impulses that he receives? It's very important to understand this. Edward Bernays and the others that mastered this, you know, all of the various shrinks and, you know, the Freudians and the rest of them, you know, everybody was trying to put man into this little petri dish to figure out, you know, if you put so many millivolts here and you put a probe in here and you deprive water or light or air, what is man going to do? And then we just kind of respond to all of that. From all of the external stimuli and the internal stimuli as they've gotten involved with our food and our water and the air that we breathe and everything else, chemtrails, you name it, it's all over us. Genetically modified food, it's all over us. Continuing here, well, we'll have to continue after this break. Stay with us. We'll be right back as the plot thickens.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
We're going into the event today. We've taken all our politics before. We can do it again.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so we've returned once again here as we start our second hour of Become Vocal Local on Friday, May the 29th, live broadcast coming to you, coming at you. We're into this discussion of revolution and counter-revolution, continuing where we began in the first segment and in the previous segment in the last of the last hour. The quality of the change characterized as revolution cannot be grasped without consideration of the type of society in which it occurs. The quality of the change characterized as revolution cannot be grasped without consideration of the type of society in which it occurs. But it's not always, you know, bandanas and armbands and 50 caliber rifles. Revolutions can be subtle. You know, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It can be stealthy using the Fabian model, gradualism, the wolf in sheep's clothing, the turtle, the tortoise, only leaping forward when the prize is well in hand, well in sight. Then the tortoise transforms or morphs into a jackrabbit or a hare and sprints across the line. And that's why they believe where we're at right now. We've been that way ever since September 11th of 2001. That was the open declaration that we'd come to that particular point, and now the Fabian socialist movement, if you will, the socialists of England and London and elsewhere, now they're sprinting. They're out in the open. They're like the buck deer out in the middle of the pasture. We've been watching and tracking them for decades and decades and decades as they built the United Nations and came forward from there. But now they're out in the middle of the pasture, and they know that if they don't get to the tree line on the other side before we squeeze the trigger and drop them in their tracks, if they can't get to the tree line, then it's all over. So all their cards are on the table. So it's Katie by the door. All steam ahead. The hell with the consequences. That kind of a concept going on. We can see that economically in all the disregard, the flagrant abuses. Everything has to be put into place quickly now. All these little parts and pieces that from the International Law Commission, the Uniform Law Commission, they've been putting all this stuff together for a long time. Now they're pushing it all forward, pushing it all forward. The little Viet Dins coming out writing things like the Patriot Act and the establishment of fatherland security, etc. Anyway, so there's different ways you can have, or you can express revolution, and it depends upon the societies. This may be described in a highly simplified times as a society torn by internal antagonism between a small upper class, which by virtue of its proprietary claims to certain sources of income receives a considerable portion of the social product, and a large lower class, which performs all the manual routine labor and subsists in relative poverty. Now, this again was written in the 30s, but we can see that we really are dealing with something like this today. I think too often we foolishly think of, well, we have the upper class or the elite, and then we have the poor people, and then we have the middle class. Well, Dorothy, how will you define middle class for us? I like to think that if you're still denominating your labor output in dollars per hour, even if it's $100 an hour or $200 an hour, even if, you know, as long as you're still denominating your output in dollars per hour, you are a wage slave and you are not elite. You are not even in the middle class. You're still a working man. Lower class. So it's all relative. No absolute there. These divisions. And so as we go back and we study more about the commercial revolution and we see how that all came into place, and then we find ourselves today, we have to carefully define our terms and understand who we are and whose we are. But again, he says, this may be described in a highly simplified term as a society torn by an internal antagonism between a small upper class, which by virtue of its proprietary claims to certain sources of income receives a considerable portion of the social product. Now, how many of these people that we've been hearing about, these banking elite, if you will, you know, with their $1 million bonuses, everybody's all flipped out, freaked out about a $1 million bonus. And of course, for people that live and subsist on $15,000 a year or less annual income in their household of three, a $1 million bonus sounds preposterous. But when you talk about the fact that they're pitching trillions and trillions of monies into this system, and that there are some people on the receiving end of trillions and trillions, a $1 million bonus is pocket change. I read the article the other day about some of these Wall Street bankster gangsters that are out there, and they're crying and they're moaning as they're having to lose their brokerage positions at millions of dollars a year plus, and take jobs as school teachers, etc. The day of the $135 haircut and the $3,000 sushi bar visit may be gone for them. Continuing dropping down in the article here, it continues and says, the conditions of existence of the two classes present a sharp contrast, and their interests are directly opposed. For ceteris paribus, a little bit of Latin there, the greater the share of the propertied class in the national dividend, the smaller is that of the laboring class. The greater the share of the propertied class in the national dividend, the smaller is that of the laboring class. The more money is available for those that have property, land, labor, and property, life, liberty, and property. For those, the more the people with property have, the less is left for the laboring class. It need not be assumed that the upper class is entirely sterile or parasitic. The full-fledged citizens of the Greek city-state cultivated the arts and the sciences, the civis, or the thieves, Romani, built and ruled a world empire. British landed aristocracy in the course of centuries developed an amazing skill in statesmanship. Prussian junkers supplied the Hohenzollern monarchy with many efficient army officers and upper class and civil administrators. So it's all relative, you see. It's time and place and people specific. In capitalist societies, and we've talked about that rise of capitalism that came under the commercial revolution, in capitalist societies, the upper class is even engaged in economic tasks. Not in subordinate manual duties, to be sure, but in an organization and management. Now, someone has to marshal the workers. Somebody has to do the strategy. Somebody has to plan the work. Somebody has to work the plan, and so on and so forth. Organization and management. Yet the income of the capitalist entrepreneur, here's that key word again, which is a word studying itself, difficult to pin down precisely what it is that it is to be an entrepreneur, qu'est-ce que c'est? Like that of the slaveholder of antiquity or of the feudal lord of the Middle Ages, the entrepreneur, this capitalist entrepreneur, is based exclusively on the right of ownership. You might make quite a bit of money working at your desk in an office on the 62nd floor of the World Trade Center building, but you don't own the building, you don't have the lease, you don't own the equipment, you don't own the space, you don't heat it, you don't cool it, you work for wages, even if they're high. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Okay, so we're back once again. We're going into this idea of counter-revolution and counter-revolution, just kind of laying out some of the basics so that we can get a better grasp on what's actually happening today, what we can draw from the past and what we compare with what is today and where we need to be in the future. And I find it interesting, particularly in this encyclopedia, I can just read them for hours, and I've read most all of this entire set of encyclopedias, and it's fascinating reading. But here we find ourselves right up to our necks in much of what's happening today, but this being written 30 years ago, they're working from their standpoint, and yet we find that as much as the calendar pages change, the things seem to stay the same. But continuing here, he says, yet the income of the capitalist entrepreneur, again, like that of the slaveholder of antiquity or the feudal lord of the Middle Ages, we've covered some of that, is based exclusively on the right of ownership. Who has that right of ownership? Do you own your property? Do you own your automobiles? Do you own your firearms? How is it that someone can come and just seize all of that from you, pull you over alongside the highway and yank you out of the vehicle and whip you all up with zip ties and taser the bejesus out of you? How is that all possible if you own all of this? What kind of a usurpation is that? It's all based on the right of ownership. Who owns it? That's important. So this becomes abundantly clear with the spread of the corporate form of business organization, joint stock companies, etc. We'll talk about that. Despite the fact that the functions of production and business management pass to salaried employees, the income claims of capitalists and entrepreneurs remain unimpaired. And so when they're doing their job, no matter who they hire to do the bean counting, like Alexander Levine Hamilton, the bean counter from the West Indies, sponsored to the colonies for his education, later the aide-de-camp and then cabinet member and then president. Nevertheless, at the time, he was just a bean counter. There was another entrepreneur or capitalist for whom he was being employed, under whom he was being employed. In addition to the mutually antagonistic upper and lower classes, mutually antagonistic, such societies comprise a number of intermediate strata. While the relative weight of these middle groups, their traditions, political orientation, and cultural makeup have a definite bearing upon the origin and the development of revolutionary processes, the dynamic factor of revolution is always, now catch this phrase, the tension generated by the conflicts of interest. You see, it always relies on tension and conflict of interest. This is the whole idea behind this pluralistic society that we live in. Last night we were visited and spoken to by a member of the John Birch Society. A couple of weeks before that, we had this guy, Galen Chadwick, from the Well-Fed Neighbor Alliance and others. And there's thousands of these groups. You know, there's TERF, there's OK Safe, there's groups and groups and groups, the Campaign for Liberty, groups and groups. It's always driven, this socialist advance. Two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward. This socialist, gradualist advance is driven by the conflict of interest. The tension has to be there. It's what makes it succeed. And it's this tension between upper and lower classes. And this holds true, our author writes, even in those situations whereby various devices of political propaganda, remember our sense of anarchy, terrorism as the deed, the propaganda deed, the publicity deed, by the various devices of political propaganda, an attack from below against the social position of the upper class is made to appear as an offensive, imperiling the status of the intermediate groups. Oh, you've got these ragheads out there, the terrorists, and they're going to jump up and they're going to bomb the heck out of some building or some train station. And it imperils the status of the middle class, or the middling class, would be one way to say it today, the middling class. So the significance of a revolution lies in the fact that it is not merely a violent and profound modification of the social organization, but a major shift in the relations between social classes, whereby the dominance of the upper class is destroyed and the lower class emancipates itself from the economic exploitation buttressed by political subordination. And we saw that in the commercial revolution, the guilds transformed themselves into basically merchants and capitalists, and then they used the creation or the establishment of these monarchs to make the transition between feudal nobles and vassals into a system whereby the state, the statists, the rise of statism, whereby the statists would protect and serve the interests of the moneyed capitalist to protect their monopolies and to advance their various trades. And it was out of the extortion of taxes and in through the paying of tariffs, etc., that the kings and the priests got their payoff for their participation in the rise of the capitalist and the entrepreneurial class. And of course, like always, the grunts on the bottom took it in the shorts. They get the gold, we get the shaft, it's an old program. However, today, we've got a lot of people in America who make more money, even on welfare, than a vast majority of the people on the planet Earth. And so there is this group of middling class people who have become the base that Jorge Bush was so pleased about to announce his base. You're my base. They're the ones that are in middle to upper management in these various and sundry firms from Halliburton to you name it. And they're the ones that realize that if the educational system is dramatically altered, or if the manufacturing centers are dramatically altered, or if the research and science and technology institutions are dramatically altered, then they're going to lose their status as upper middling class minion. And so they're willing to go along with all of this abuse and tyranny. Well, if you have nothing to hide, what are you worried about? Oh, I'll throw my doors open to the census taker. Let him come in and, you know, use a video camera and video all the contents of my house. Who cares? Doesn't impact me. I make $100,000 a year working for XYZ company. Chump change. Those who would exchange or trade their essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither their liberty nor their security. Old Benjamin Franklin said that one. But that's where the base lies. For the established two-party political system. Anyway, I digress. In the process, the old social order is discarded and a new one erected in its place. Now, are we going to have a lower middle class, an upper lower class revolution, a struggle, a permanent revolution against the upper middling class? Perhaps. But who's going to be watching and minding the store at the global level as the globalists walk away with the whole candy shop? Anyone? Bourgeois revolutions, as illustrated par excellence in the French Revolution, which we've been studying. Well, we'll have to come back and study that on the other side. Stay with us.
Now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, back again, once again, right into this article, Revolution and Counter-Revolution, out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. I'm about ready to set it aside for today. But we're right back in on top of this French Revolution again. Our author says, bourgeois revolutions, as illustrated par excellence in the French Revolution, signify the social emancipation of the bourgeoisie and the recasting of the feudal corporative regime into a capitalist bourgeois social system. In a socialist revolution, the proletariat rises to the position of a ruling class and destroys capitalism by socializing the means of production. But again, we can go back to our book and find more from Andrew Galambos when we want to talk about capitalism. And capitalism is, according to Galambos, the perfect system, but it needs to be understood rightly. Capitalism is that societal structure whose mechanism is capable of protecting all forms of private property completely. None of these other systems can do that or will do that. Capitalism has the potential, but it has been taken far off course. Now let's drop back to the French Revolution, where we left off yesterday, and look at the three great stages of the French Revolution. It begins this way. This is out of Edward McNall Burns' World Civilization, 6th edition, published in 1963. for those that are interested, page 608, the first stage of the revolution, talking about the French Revolution. The course of the French Revolution was marked by three great stages, the first of which extended from June of 1789 to August of 1792. During most of this period, the destinies of France were in the hands of the National Assembly, dominated by the leaders of the Third Estate. Remember the three estates, the clergy, the nobles, and the commoners. But it was in the hands of the Third Estate, this would be the commoners, rising up. Insolent dogs that they were, right? In the main, this stage was a moderate, middle-class stage. The masses had not yet gained any degree of political power, nor were they in a position to seize control of the economic system. Would you say that today in America there might be something similar? Although we understand the dire straits that we're in, the lateness of the hour, are we in any position to seize control of the economic system? Aside from the destruction of the Bastille on July the 14th of 1789 and the murder of a few members of the Royal Guard, there was comparatively little violence in Paris or Versailles. In certain of the country districts, however, a more unruly spirit prevailed. I just have to reiterate that this is information that has been studied very carefully by the Master Blasters. They love to think tank all of this stuff out at the Tavistock as they sit around and dialogue themselves into consensus. There's another thing that you can do in a circle, but I won't bring it out on air. In certain of the country districts, however, again, a more unruly spirit prevailed, and we're starting to see that all across America now. As one county after the next county realizes that it's going to be their sheriff, it's going to be up to them, it's going to be up to us. And rightly or wrongly, wrong-headed or not, as part of the dialectic or not, the state legislatures are starting to realize that they're going to have to take back some of their sovereignty and assert themselves against this beast system, or find themselves saddled with real ID and all of this other stuff, the NAIS and all the rest of this garbage, this communitarian claptrap, that they themselves will have to finance, fund, manage, implement, take on themselves and run through their own court systems, aiding and abetting and being complicit with this beast system, this global system. And one by one, here, there, little here, little there, little, here, little, legislators and state senators and governors and councilmen and mayors are starting to wake up and they're saying, wait a minute, I didn't buy into this. I had no idea. Maybe I should have read the Constitution before I ran for office and took the oath. And maybe they should, and maybe they need to do that now, and maybe many are. Maybe some of them are no longer relying upon the advice and the counsel of their aides. Perhaps now they're aiding themselves. Let's see how that transpires. Many of the peasants grew impatient over the delay in granting reforms and determined to deal with the situation directly. How about the peasants that voted for Barry the Usurper? Gonna get change. Gonna have to worry about filling up my car with gasoline. Gonna have to worry about making my mortgage payments because Barry's gonna do it all for me. We all heard that clip, right? Arming themselves with pitchforks and scythes, they set out to destroy what they would of the old regime. They demolished chateaus of hated nobles, plundered monasteries and residences of bishops, and they murdered some of the miserable lords who had offered resistance. Most of this violence occurred during the summer of 1789 and had much to do with the frightening of the upper classes into surrendering some of their privileges. I'd like to be a known member of the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission or one of the people that sit on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank. Someone at the upper levels of the Internal Revenue Service. At a time when the people of the United States of America finally find their gonadula and step forward. Might be a rather troubling time to be a bank president. might not be a good place to be if you happen to be a county sheriff that's been jackbooting all the people in your county for a couple of decades. The most significant developments of the first stage of the revolution were the achievements of the National Assembly between 1789 and 1791. The initial one of these achievements was the destruction of the relics of feudalism. This came about largely as the result of rebellious temper displayed by the peasants. Those nasty little people. Feed them cake. Such alarming reports of anarchy in the villages had reached the National Assembly that an urgent need for concessions soon came to be recognized by many of the members. There's that word again. Such alarming reports of anarchy. We know what that means now. On the 4th of August, a certain noble proposed in an eloquent speech that all of his brethren should renounce their feudal privileges. Can't you just see them in Congress? Curling up in little fetal balls in the corner, covering themselves up with their desks, pleading, renouncing their feudal privileges. His plea stirred the assembly to a wild enthusiasm, compounded partly of fear and partly of revolutionary zeal. Are you receiving any of the letters from the Republican National Committee or your Republican State Committee? Funny, isn't it, how they're starting to sound like the Ron Paul people, talking about the Constitution for the first time since they overthrew the Constitution when they brought their radical red Republican Party of Lincoln into existence, much to the pleasure of Karl Mordecai Marx back in the 1860s. Now all of a sudden the Republican Party has begun to find the Constitution again. Maybe they've come to Jesus. Nobles, churchmen, and burghers vied with each other in suggesting reforms. We've got to restructure the Republican Party. We have to remanufacture the Democratic Party. The people aren't happy anymore. They're no longer turning out in droves to vote. They're no longer registering to vote. They're no longer paying their taxes. They're no longer going to their jobs. The slaves are in rebellion. They're wearing white armbands and funny caps and carrying pitchforks and torches and 50 calibers. And I'm not talking about muzzleloaders. Before the night had ended, innumerable remnants of the hoary structure of vested rights had been swept away. Tithes and the feudal dues of the peasants were formally abolished. Serfdom was eliminated. The hunting privileges of the nobles were declared at an end. Exemption from taxation and monopolies of all kind were sacrificed as contrary to the natural equality. While the nobles did not surrender all of their rights, the ultimate effect of these reforms was the quote-unquote August Days. It was to annihilate distinctions of rank and class and to make all Frenchmen citizens of an equal status in the eyes of the law. There's that tricky little word, status, etatist, a statist. Following the destruction of privilege, the assembly turned its attention to preparing a charter of liberties. The result was the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen, issued in September of 1789. Pick it up right there on the other side of the brick. Break. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Take out the garbage, take out the metal!
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
And we're back once again right here on the last segment of today's broadcast. This is Become Vocal Local. We do come to you Monday through Friday on this Oracle Broadcasting Network. There's a little website you might visit today, vocallocal.org. Carefully read through Plan B and some of the other things. There's not much on that website intentionally. It's intended to be something that you can go to once or twice, visit, see it at all, and then come back and listen to the broadcast, because most of what I put out is it's just entirely too lengthy to type it all out. It's too difficult for me to do that. If I were doing one broadcast a week or something like that, I could do some real poignant, you know, writing and have some treatises and things and essays and some theses up on the web. But doing 5 days a week on 2 different networks, it's just too much to do, so I have to do it the way that I've been doing. I think it's working all right. I hope it's working for you. Rather than summarizing these various and sundry texts, I just read it to you and discuss it, break in and jump in as we go. But anyway, we're right back into this idea of this revolution and counter-revolution, and we find ourselves smack off in September of 1789 when the assembly comes up and they write this Declaration of the Rights of man and of the citizen. And it's modeled in part, the author writes here, after the English Bill of Rights, and embodying the teachings of liberal political philosophers, the French Declaration was a typical middle-class document. And we've already started to bring out some of these liberal political philosophers. This is the idea of the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. I start to broadcast out that way each day. We're talking about the philosophical radicals here, who had just about had a belly full of the jackboot on their throat, and they wanted something different. And then they didn't just sit around talking about change, they affected it. Unfortunately, with every revolution, there's a counter-revolution, and we get complacent and we go back to sleep. And no one is listening and no one cares. Or something like that. You've all heard that clip. But we go to sleep. So there's a revolution and a counter-revolution. When we push, someone pushes back. And when they push, we push back. It's natural. Put two hands up in front of you and press a little, you know, put your hands together, palm to palm, press a little bit with your left, your right instinctively and automatically presses back. It works the same way with people. But if you reach forward and you grasp them by the hand and gently cup their elbow with your other hand and pull forward just a little bit, just stand right up out of their chair. I've done it in audience after audience. If you push on them, they'll push back. But if you just extend your hand and pull gently, they'll come right up. They'll come with you. And that's what we need to do, is add numbers to our circle of influence, if you will. But anyway, this was a typical middle-class document. Property was declared to be a natural right, as well as liberty, security, and resistance to oppression. Now, I know today it sounds so trite, but at this time it was profound. These were things that middle class and lower class people never, ever, ever advanced before. These were gains that people made that have never, you know, they've never done it before. Always we had the priest class ruling. And the Jewsuries. And there was a shift. It was a mental shift. They call it the Renaissance. The intellectual revolution. Let's find out a little bit more about it. No one was to be deprived of anything he possessed, except in case of public necessity, and then only on a condition, that he should have been previously and equitably indemnified. Proper consideration was also to be given to personal rights. Freedom of speech, of religious toleration, and liberty of the press were to be held inviolable. All citizens were to be declared to be entitled to equality of treatment in the courts. No one was to be imprisoned or otherwise punished except in accordance with the due process of law. Sovereignty was affirmed to reside in the people, and officers of government were made subject to deposition if they abused the powers conferred upon them. Nothing was said about any right of the common man, however, to an adequate share of the wealth he produced, or even to protection of the state in cause or case of inability to earn a living. In other words, they weren't getting into socialism at this time. And this is a bit of a review. So that we understand where we're coming from in all of this. The authors of the Declaration of Rights were not socialists, nor were they interested particularly in the economic welfare of the masses. And so then they went on into the secularization of the church, and then they went on into 1791 with the development of their constitution. Then they went through the second or the radical stage of the revolution, and we've gone through this. And then we've gone into the causes of the transitions to the radical stage. And we start to come in to some of these real radical thinkers. But then there became this idea or this threat of foreign intervention. And this is going to be really, really important for us to understand. Because foreign intervention and any kind of a revolution in these colonies is not just likely, it's a certainty. The globalists cannot tolerate anybody stepping out of line. They know full well that if we, the people of the United States, step up again, remember, we're talking about the French Revolution, we're talking 1789, 1792, 1794, 1791, all that area. We'd already done it. We mapped it out. Thomas Paine was over here. He was part of this group. And if we, the people of the United States, say that's enough and we're not going to take this anymore, we're mad as hell, the rest of the people will have the courage to do it. Look at Iceland. They set an example here. Now they're ahead of us. When are we going to catch up with the Icelanders? How about the Greeks? Maybe we're a little bit behind the eight ball here, a little too fat and happy, fat, dumb, and lazy. But again here, perhaps the most important cause of the triumph of the radicals was the outbreak of war between France and the foreign states. In several European countries, the progress of the French Revolution was coming to be viewed with increasing alarm by reactionary rulers. The fear was particularly strong in Austria and Prussia, where numerous émigrés or French royalists had taken refuge and were convincing the monarchs of those countries of the danger that the revolution might spread. Besides, the French queen, Marie Antoinette, was a member of the Habsburg family and was making frenzied appeals to the emperors to come to the aid of her husband in August 1793. 1791, the Austrian and Prussian rulers joined in issuing the Declaration of Pillnitz, in which they boldly avowed that the restoration of order and of the rights of the monarch in France was a matter of quote-unquote common interest to all sovereigns of Europe. Can't you just hear the coalition talk on the evening news, faux news info, talking about common interest to all the sovereigns in the global east? Naturally, this pronouncement was keenly resented by the French, since it could hardly be interpreted in any other way than as a definite threat of intervention. Can you say Katrina? Can you hear the jackboots coming to town, the airborne? The Mexicans coming in with their military? Foreign intervention, the threat of intervention on U.S. soil? Oh, we've been doing it everywhere else. Why shouldn't others come here? I'm sure they could just be drooling to stand in line to come after the Americans once. While the moderate faction expected the military success would solidify the loyalty of the people to the new regime, many of the radicals were clamoring for war in the secret hope that the armies of France would suffer defeat and that the monarchy would thereby be discredited. How many would champion for the United States of America to be defeated by a foreign country today? A republic could then be set up, and heroic soldiers of the people would turn defeat into a victory and carry the blessings of freedom to all the oppressed of Europe. How many people think that the military are going to rise up and save our bacon at this time? Have you ever heard of military dictatorships before, juntas? Be careful of what you wish for. You might get your dreams. With such considerations in mind, the Assembly voted for war on April the 20th of 1792. As the radicals had hoped, the forces of the French met serious reverses. By August, the Allied armies of Austria and Prussia had crossed the frontier and were threatening the capture of Paris. A fury of rage and despair seized the capital. The belief prevailed that the military disasters had been the result of treason. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. We're all out of time. We'll be back again on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.